What a day, what a moment, what a time to be a Wizards fan. The Wizards enter the day with a 52% chance of not getting a top four pick, and they end up being the only bottom four team record-wise to get a top four pick. Great turn of events for the Wizards. They'll be picking second overall in the 2024 draft, the highest they've ever picked since 2013 when they selected Otto Porter Jr. third overall. It's a great time to be a Wizards fan. The luck was finally on their side. They didn't get the first pick, and that was the prized possession in this draft. But can't be mad staying put when you realistically had a better chance of getting the fifth or sixth pick than actually getting the pick that you were supposed to at number two. Got a lot to talk about, a lot of new storylines and completely different outlook on how this offseason and draft process will unfold now that they have the second overall pick. And I'm gonna dive right into it right now in this episode. Essentially, the Wizards are sat now at number two. Bad draft class. We knew that going in, but you want to not only have leverage and getting to decide who you want, not having to wait on other people to pick in front of you, but you also want to get out in front of the fact that the Wizards are sat here and they could have fallen to five and they didn't. Basically, before I get into it, how the lottery system kind of works is they draw from one to four. There's 1,000 combinations. The Wizards and the Pistons had the most out of those 1,000 with 140. And they just do the exact same drawing for four separate times. They get the top four picks. Those are the only picks they draw for. And then the rest are done in reverse alphabetical order. So essentially, the Wizards, when the Utah Jazz were announced as the 10th pick, that meant that they dropped two spots because they were supposed to get the eighth overall pick. So that meant that two teams had jumped in front of the Jazz, and because of that meant that two teams jumped into that top four spot. Jumped into that top four spot. So that was a tough moment, obviously, because the Wizards needed, if the lottery went the exact way that it was supposed to, the Wizards would have gotten that top four pick, and that would have been fine. So the Wizards wanted everything to go as planned. But when Utah fucked up the entire thing by dropping two spots, it meant that the Hawks jumped from number 10 into the top four. And it also meant that the Rockets jumped from number nine into the top four. So there were only two spots left in that top four for teams that were supposed to get it. And four teams vying for those two spots. So you move on to Portland. At seven, Portland drops three spots and goes to seven. So that means that San Antonio has now jumped into the top four. So there's now six picks remaining, and none of the teams in the bottom four have yet to be none of the teams in the bottom four, I don't know. Essentially, there were four spots left in that top four, and realistically only one spot left for those bottom four teams. And so when they announced at six that Charlotte got it, that meant that they got fucked over. They dropped three spots and they had six. So when they announced five, you already knew San Antonio was in the top four. You knew Atlanta was in the top four, and you knew Houston was in the top four. And then you get to the point where, okay, it's either Washington or Detroit for this fifth pick. And when I tell you, I was shaking. Like, I was so nervous because it was legitimately the Wizards get fucked over here and get five, like I'd been saying, or the Pistons get fucked over for another year, drop from the worst possible record to the fifth pick for the third year in a row, and get absolutely fleeced. And if you know the logos, the Wizards and the Pistons just have round, basically basketball logos, both kind of red. So I was like, please just be the Detroit. Please be bright red. And lo and behold, it was bright red. It was awesome. I mean, if you saw my reaction video that I posted online, I look like an idiot, but I mean, it's you can see my passion for this team. Like, this might not be a great draft, but this pick still matters. And moving from not getting the fifth pick to ultimately getting the second pick is huge. So that put the Wiz in the top four automatically. And at that point, we're playing with house money. I was like, obviously, I want to be above the fourth pick. I want to be top three, but I'm content with the fact that we didn't get fucked over and drop outside the top four. And then you see the Spurs get announced at 4, and then you see the Rockets get announced at 3, and you're just holding your breath because it's like Alex Saar is the best player at 1, and there's such a steep drop off that was such a big moment. And obviously it's devastating that you work all of that way and don't win, but you kind of just got to sit there and reflect on the fact, like, look, I came in here hoping that we could come out of here not getting the fifth or sixth pick, and we ended up getting second, which is what we were supposed to. So you'll take that. You had a 14% chance, a less than 14% chance to get the second pick, and you got it. So you got to be happy. You got to take a step back. Obviously, I wanted Sar and I wanted one, but I'm fine staying put because we're the only bottom four team that ended up in the top four. The Wizards did get some lottery luck in this draft. Save the number one pick luck for next year for Cooper Flagg. But they did get some luck in this draft, and I'm fine with that. So that's kind of a rundown of the lottery and how it all unfolded. The Wizards have the second pick. Hawks have one. Then it goes Houston, then San Antonio, and honestly, I don't care after that. My immediate reaction, like I said, is it could have been worse. The Wizards are the only team in that top four, or only bottom four record-wise team to stay in that top four, right at 2. And look, this draft is wide open. Obviously, Alex Saar is the clear-cut number one for most people. But after that, there's 5 to 6 people that I'm content with the Wizards taking. And those prospects that I would consider at number 2 right now, I've narrowed it down to 6, which is crazy that you have. Usually it's basically 2 guys that you want to take it to. And obviously these prospects are considering Alex Saar goes number 1, which I expect. The 6 prospects I have for number 2 in no particular order: Ron Holland, Stephon Castle, Zachariah Risacher, Nikola Topic, Rob Dillingham, and Matas Buzelis. I have basically 2 guys from the G League, from G League Ignite, a guy from Kentucky, a guy from the EuroLeague, another guy from the French League, and then a guy that just won a national championship. So we have a lot of mixed personalities, a lot of different play styles and backgrounds in this top 6 group. And I tweeted out, I honestly, at this point, if Sar goes 1, I'm fine with whoever Will Dawkins and Michael Winger decide to take. I like a lot. I like all of these guys that I just named, and I wouldn't mind if the Wizards took a swing on someone that maybe had a lot of upside, like a Stephon Castle or a Ron Holland. That's not there yet, but might be. Or maybe they're like, you know what? Rob Dillingham's just the best player out of these bunch right now. We think he's a very good player at a position we kind of need at the guard position. Not saying point guard, but the guard position. Let's take him. And I'm at the point where I'm not a draft expert. But I do like these 6 guys, and I wouldn't mind any of them at 2. And like I said, I'm going to trust Will Dawkins to make the move. But I'd much rather be at number 2 than number 3, number 4, number 5, or number 6 again. So obviously, number 1 would have been great, but I'm content with the fact that I'm here at 2. There's guys that have been mocked to the Wizards kind of in this range as well that I want to get out in front of and kind of say, I don't want these guys at 2. That's Reed Sheppard, that's Donovan Clingan, and that's Cody Williams. And I'll give an explanation for each because I'm a big Clingan guy. I understand he's a drop big and he's maybe not the most laterally quick and can't really shoot the ball, but he's gonna be a really solid NBA player. You can't take him at 2. I think it may be 5 or 6 if you were at that spot and he was still there, you can consider it. But there's better players and more talent to be had at number 2 than Donovan Clingan. So I wouldn't really like that pick. I wouldn't like the Reed Sheppard pick, and I really don't know why so many people are high on Reed Sheppard, having him mocked at 2 or 3. Like, Reed Sheppard's a great player, but like in the tournament against Oakland, he just folded. Like, you're gonna take that guy? He's a great player, don't get me wrong, had some huge games, but so did Dillingham, and Dillingham's more athletic. I feel like Dillingham's a better shot maker, a better shot creator. He's not a better passer than Sheppard, but like, I don't see it with him. I think Reed Sheppard's a great player for a team in the lottery that maybe shouldn't be there, like Houston. If you're looking for a really good role player, I don't view Reed Sheppard as ever being that guy, or even being one of the best players on a championship team. And why would I take him second overall? So I don't like that. And then Cody Williams, I like Cody Williams's game, but I feel like he's a back end of the lottery guy. And I know a lot of people are high on him because we missed on Jalen Williams by taking Johnny Davis, and they don't want to mess up again by not taking his brother when you could have the chance to. But those are guys that I've seen mocked to in that range to the Wizards, and that I kind of want to avoid. So those are kind of the prospects that are in that range for the Wizards, the top 10 consensus, I'd say. I like six of them, not too high on three of them, and obviously this is all considering Sargo's number one. So like I said, those six guys that are mocked to the Wizards at number two, big fan of a lot of them. And I told you them in no particular order because I wanted to talk about the two guys that I really like out of that group right now. And one I know a lot of people on Wizards Twitter like, and the other one is polarizing. You either really like him or you think he's an overhyped bust. The first one I'm going to go with is the controversial one. Get it out of the way. It's Ron Holland. A lot of people are very high on him because his high school tape is immaculate. He showed some promise in the G League, but he also can't shoot the ball. And that's a big issue, obviously, coming into the league, especially when people really need shooting all around nowadays, even at the center position. But look, Ron Holland, 19.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, nearly 3 assists this season in about 31 minutes. Some strengths I've seen from watching some film. Freak athlete, can jump out of the gym, unbelievably quick, especially with the ball in his hands. He's got great size at 6'8". A lot of people are projecting him to play more of a small forward type role, which I understand. Maybe like a bigger two guard into a three. It's just he can't shoot. He's so fast in transition. When he gets the ball, he's just a fucking blur like John Wall out there. And I feel like he's above average on defense, especially on ball. Like I said, very laterally quick, can move and do a bunch of good things on defense, great ball skills. The biggest concern is his shooting splits. And look, 46% from the field, 24% from three, 70% from the line. That's terrible. Even for a non-shooter, you need shooting. And for you to take someone, we see it with Scoot. Like, his shot's going to develop and it's going to get better. You're not drafting him for that. You're drafting him for the traits, the unteachables, like the 6'8", unbelievable wingspan, crazy athletic. All that type of stuff is what I will be drafting Ron Holland for. In the hopes that, look, he's 18 years old. The Wizards are 3 to 4 years away. He will develop a shot. Most guys in the league, it's rare to see a guy go through the NBA and just never get better with his 3-point shooting. Like, eventually you get slightly better, and he's not going to be fucking Curry. But I'd rather bank on the unteachable talents like size, athleticism, defensive instincts. Other than, okay, he's a really good shooter, and what else does he do? Like maybe like a Reed Sheppard. I feel like they're kind of pretty opposite prospects, and I'd rather bank on Holland in a rebuild than a guy like Sheppard. And Holland kind of projects a little bit like Bilal too. Lanky, great defender. Shooting might not be there, but athleticism off the charts. Like, these are the type of prospects I feel like Will Dawkins and Michael Winger like. And that's why I also like him, and I wouldn't mind taking him here at number two. And then the other guy is a very similar prospect. It's Stephon Castle, who I took at five in my last mock draft for the Wizards, and I would take him again at two because he, to me, is two. Ron Holland's 2A, he's 2B for me. 6'6" guard from UConn, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists this season. En route to a national championship. And you got to remember, those numbers are a bit diluted because he played poorly offensively in the beginning of the season. Very great development from him on that end towards the latter part of the season. But look, some strengths for Castle. Best perimeter defender in this draft. And I'd be inclined to say best defender in this draft, but I feel like that's unfair to guys like Klingon, who are terrific rim protectors. Sarr is a solid rim protector. I'm fine with saying Castle's the best on-ball perimeter defender because it's factual. I mean, he's a brick wall on defense. You saw it all throughout the NCAA tournament. Just a terrific, terrific instincts, great lateral movement, great hands, good size for the guard position. You can switch pretty much, I would say, one through four, if I'm being real. You can't really have him, obviously, on a center. But I really like so much that he has to offer. The weaknesses is pretty similar to Ron Holland. I mean, he can't really shoot the three, 26% from three. limited offensive game, and he can slash, like he can finish around the rim, but he's got obviously no outside game, no mid-range game, not really a shot, but he does all the intangibles well. And like I said, with this pick and this rebuild at this stage, I'm banking on upside. I'm banking on traits, and he has the best out of the remaining lot, him and Haaland, and they're just their Wizards picks. You know, this front office values defense. They value length and size across the board, especially at the guard position, and they value potential. They took Bilal with probably the most raw prospect of the top 10 with the most potential, not counting like Wemby, you know what I mean, like the most potential to go from what he is now to what he could be. Like very, very, very low floor, but a very, very high ceiling. That's the type of prospect that Klingon and Castle are, and it's a pretty similar to Bilal. So like I said, Haaland and Castle are my two top prospects that I would consider taking at number two. So now that we've dove a little bit into some of the prospects and kind of what I like out of them and who I don't like, I want to get into a more fun part of this, and that's right into the trade machine. Will Dawkins had a really interesting quote to Josh Robbins after the NBA draft lottery. Josh asked him like, what now? Or maybe it was Chase Hughes, but like, what do you do now that you have won this pick? And Will Dawkins said, I'm gonna go back with my staff, with the front office, and we're gonna evaluate the league and what just happened. Because obviously you can look at it from an outside perspective and say, hey, the Wizards, you could have gotten the fifth or sixth pick and you got two, and now what are you gonna do with two? But Will Dawkins is like, no, the Hawks just got one from 10. A team that people thought would trade Trae Young and blow it all up. Now they might do a bunch of different things. That's league altering. And then you got a team like Houston that goes from 9-3. They're right on the cusp. They're another team that was looking to make some big moves. That's league altering. You have a team like San Antonio that came away with two picks in the top eight when they could have only gotten one because Toronto's conveyed and now they have 4 and 8. If they want to move up, like there's so many different things that changed apart from just the Wizards. And I love that Will Dawkins said that. Like we can't just be tunnel visioned on the Wizards. We got to be focused on the whole landscape of the league. And that's just kind of a quote that caught my eye. So, looking at that, and with that being said, I got a bunch of trades. Pretend that I was in that fucking meeting with Will Dawkins, and I sat down and we figured, okay, here's a couple things that I kind of taken away from what just happened in the lottery. And this is, there's two trades that I've come up with. They're both pretty much involving the same teams. There's just a lot of intangibles to each. And look, these could be way more simple than I think. I don't know how much these picks hold, like the value of them. I don't know. I know it's a bad draft, and the second pick this year is so much less valuable than last year's, but I just don't know the stock that these teams are putting into certain moves and who they want and who they don't want. So the first scenario involves the San Antonio Spurs. It's a team that had a pick that was sent from Toronto to them in the Jakob Poeltl trade last year. If it was top six, Toronto kept it. If it wasn't, it conveyed. It fell to eight, so it conveyed. And now the Spurs are sat with picks 4, 8, 35, and 48, with a plethora of picks throughout the next couple of years, all of their own draft picks. And they also have a 2025, 2027, and 2029 unprotected first, I think, from Atlanta and the Murray trade, which is disgusting. So they have a lot to work with, and they've been a team that's shopped around the trade market. And obviously, you can't sit here with this team and just let Wemby rot for the next couple of years. They're going to want to act sooner than later to capitalize when Wemby isn't making $500 million over the next 5 years. So I think San Antonio doesn't get desperate, obviously, but I think they want to make a move to get their guy at number two, and also to bring in veteran talent so that they're not just playing a bunch of 22-year-old kids without any veteran presence on the court. So this is the first trade. And before you make any judgments on it, I'm going to explain it a little bit, so just hear me out. The Wizards trade the second overall pick and Kyle Kuzma to the San Antonio Spurs. In return, the Spurs send back picks 4, 8, 35 in the 2024 draft, a 2025 second round pick, and Zach Collins. That's a lot to take in. Again, the Wizards trade the pick number 2 and Kyle Kuzma to the Spurs. The Wizards trade pick number 2 and Kuz to the Spurs, and in return get picks 4, 8, and 35 this year, 2025 second round pick, and Zach Collins. And if I could please explain it a little bit, essentially break this down into two different trades just combined into one. Trading Kyle Kuzma for Zach Collins and the 8th pick, it makes a lot of sense. And the 8th pick, look, it isn't the 8th pick of old. It's a different valued, way less valued 8th pick. So just keep that in mind. Secondly, if you trade the second overall pick for picks 4, 35, and a 2025 second round pick, that also makes a little bit of sense. Like, you're dropping 2 picks, yes, but you're also considering you're picking up the 35th pick, a probably high second round pick in 25, and you're only dropping 2 spots. Your guy will probably still be there at number 4. If you really like 3 different guys and you don't care who you get, and you consider that Spurs probably take Dillingham, that would make sense too, because one of Holland or Castle or any of your guys will still be there at number 4. So that's kind of where I'm sitting here. The Spurs, like I said, want to add a veteran in Kyle Kuzma. They want to go up and get their guy in Rob Dillingham, and essentially are trading an trading Zach Collins' salary to the Wizards, which they don't want, for a really good salary, Kyle Kuzma. And they get, instead of having picks 4 and 8, they get Kyle Kuzma and Dillingham, basically. And that it's a great trade for the Spurs. And I honestly feel like it's not good enough for the Wizards. Like, essentially, you want to get a first-round pick for Kuz. You're getting the 8th overall pick, technically, for Kuz. I feel like this is the best return you're going to get. And yes, you could hold out and wait for a better draft class next year, but I feel like if you trade him to a contender at the deadline next year, that pick's going to be outside the lottery. And yeah, it's a better draft class, but not by much when you consider it's the 8th pick versus probably the 20th or 21st pick. So I think this is just a good, solid trade. Again, the Wizards send pick two and Kyle Kuzma to the Spurs for picks 4 and 8 this year in the top 10, pick 35 this year, and then 2025 second-round pick and Zach Collins to make the salaries work. I feel like it's a pretty fair trade for both sides. If anything, San Antonio gets the better end of the deal, but let me know. You can at me or DM me what you think of that trade scenario. I'll probably put it up on my Twitter just to gauge interest, and I might get clowned for it. I don't know. I feel like it's a good trade. My dad thought it was a good trade, but we shall see. And now we get into an absolute blockbuster of a trade. And it's involving still the Spurs and the Wizards, but we bring in a third. We bring in a third team. I really got into the Fanspo trade machine on this one. We bring in the team that just got unbelievably lucky in the lottery, and now their entire future is completely different. It's the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks and the Spurs have kind of been talked a lot about in terms of, yeah, Trae Young not really working in Atlanta. We don't want to pay him $43 million per year. We realistically want to move on from him because him and Murray don't work, and we're not going to trade Murray because we didn't move him at the deadline this year. And the Spurs just kind of make sense as a team that has the assets, pretty much thanks to the Hawks, to get a really good player. They need a point guard that runs the pick and roll well, can play right next to Wemby in a great 1-5 tandem. Like, they probably feel like this could be like their Murray Jokic, and it makes sense. And the Wizards being here is a good trade facilitator just to make salaries work, and can kind of work in here as well to sweeten the pot for Atlanta and also get exactly what they want. This is a trade to get Washington Alex Sarr. And I know a lot of people think he's the best, and a lot of people still really want him and hope he falls. So I figured I'd work a trade that is a blockbuster but also gets the Wizards Alex Sarr, and this is the best I can come up with. Essentially, and bear with me because there's a lot of moving pieces in this. The Wizards are going to absorb Zach Collins' salary, trade Kyle Kuzma, and move from pick two to pick one. So they're moving up one pick. And essentially, to do that, are trading Kyle Kuzma. And when you look at it from an outsider's perspective, I think I'd rather have Alex Saar than Kyle Kuzma and Rob Dillingham. You know what I mean? Like, I value him like that. And if the Wizards do as well, and they think they're eventually going to trade Kuz, you might want to consider making a type of trade like this. So here's the move: the Wizards send Zach Collins, and no, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Essentially, the Spurs get Trae Young, and that's all they get from this deal. The Wizards get Zach Collins and the first overall pick. The Hawks get Kyle Kuzma, Devontae Graham, Malachi Branham. They get the Hawks first round pick. Not the Hawks. They get the Wizards first round pick at two, and then they get all of the picks back from the Spurs that they gave them in the Dejounte Murray trade. So that's basically three additional first round picks. They drop from pick one to two in the draft. Trade Trae Young, pick up Kyle Kuzma, Devontae Graham, and Malachi Branham. So I'm gonna break it down from each team. The Spurs, obviously, that's a lot to give up for Trae Young, but do the Spurs really want all of those first round draft picks? Probably not. And it's not like they're their own. The Spurs still control all of their own first round draft picks. They've just traded the ones they got for Dejounte Murray to get Trae Young. And Trae Young's younger than Murray. Trae Young has a big contract, but is I would say better than Dejounte Murray. And he is your piece that you want to fit in to Victor Wembanyama. So now, if you're the Spurs, you have Trae Young, Victor Wembanyama, and all of your future first round picks to work with. That's pretty good to start your rebuild with. For the Hawks, you move off Trae because you don't really want him. You take back Kyle Kuzma because I don't think the Hawks really want to rebuild. I think they kind of want to reset. And if you want to trade Trae, you build around Deontay. And if you trade Deontay, you keep building around Trae. But they trade Trae. So you build around Deontay, you get back Kyle Kuzma is a very solid piece. Devontae Graham can be a backup guard. He's not bad. Malachi Branham, very young prospect. And then you get three first round picks, all of your picks back to now make another move and go all in on if you want Brandon Ingram, if you want to try to sign Paul George, if you want to do a bunch of things. It's dicey. And I don't really know if it works. Honestly, if I'm the Wizards, I don't know if I accept this deal. I feel like I'd rather stay put at two. And Sar's very good. But I feel like I'm fine staying put at two. I don't really want to mortgage the future. I'd rather stay at two, take whoever I take, not get Sar. And then if I want to trade Kuzma in the future, I can get pick 17 at some point as well. But I feel like I'd rather have picks 2 and 17, especially 17 being in a great class next year, than have pick one this year and have to pay Zach Collins. I think you can get a lot more for Kuz in this, so that's why I probably wouldn't do it if I'm the Wizards, and I'd prefer to do trade one, but that's just me. So look, if you really look at it from an outsider's perspective, the Wizards had a terrific, terrific, terrific lottery Sunday. Out of the four teams with the worst record and the best odds to get the first pick, they're the only team that stayed in the top four. Every other team got fucked over, especially Detroit. They dropped four spots, the largest drop of any team. But the Wizards stayed put, and they're the only one in the top four, and that's a really good result for Washington. I saw from David Aldridge the last time the Wizards, or the Wizards franchise, I think it was the Baltimore Bullets back then, had the second overall pick. They took Wes Unseld. So if that's any indication, the best player in franchise history, you could be looking at, if history repeats itself, a very good prospect. I know I'm getting ahead of myself because this class isn't that great, but still something to kind of get your hopes up and consider, and just kind of like a cool fact. It's been that long since the Wizards had the second overall pick. Like I mentioned, there's six different guys that I would take with this pick, and I'm gonna have a bunch of draft guys. There's 45 days to the draft. I'm lining up some guys that know a lot more about these prospects than me to come on here and give you some great analysis. I already had Ben Pfeiffer on, and a lot of you guys really liked that episode. I still want to have Matt Modano on because I know Matt loves the draft, so hopefully have him on in the near future. And then hopefully get some other draft gurus on as well. I DM Jonathan Givony from ESPN to see if he wants to come on. Zero chance he responds or even sees it, but whatever. Worst he can say is no. But that's kind of going to wrap it up here. Before we go, I do want to talk about Josh Robbins' report in The Athletic that Brian Keefe is considered across the league as the front runner to land the Washington Wizards head coaching job. And they've started their interviews, and they did this about 5 days ago. They started doing head coaching interviews. And it, like I said in last episode, Brian Keefe is the guy that I want to give the spot to. And that was before any of these things came out saying he was the front runner. I came out and said, look, Brian Keefe did exactly what he was asked to do. I mean, the team drastically changed. Josh said that he's gotten rave reviews about player development, especially from all the players, about, you know, the respect factor they have for him and how they kind of rallied around him and all that stuff. Especially for a rebuilding team, you want to have a voice, and you don't want a tank commander like the Rockets had all those years, or like the Hornets have kind of had. You want to have your guy, and it seems to me like the Wizards think Brian Keefe could be that. Look, his record, so I think it was 8-30, but he had one of the worst rosters in the league, and he turned their defense around. He turned the culture a little bit around, and I'm more than happy to give him another shot here. I hope it's like a 2 year deal. I don't really want to get into like 4 or 5 years and okay, now he's not a good coach, we're fucked. Give him a 1 to 2 year deal. Head coaches aren't like, now that my contract's up, I kind of want to go to the Lakers. Like, no, head coaches aren't hitting free agency. If a head coach does a great job, you reward him with a new contract, he's gonna fucking stay because he just built this shit for 2 years. Give Brian Keefe like a 2 year deal with a team option after year one. Pick up that option if he does a good job. And after 2 years, if this rebuild is looking like the Thunder with Dagnall and all that, then you give him your 5 year extension. Then you get into it. But I hope it's like a 2 year deal, team option after year one, heading into year two. Pick up that option if he's good. If not, you know, move on. If you don't like what you're seeing, don't be like what you did with Woj and pick up the option, even though you know you're probably gonna fire his ass in 20 games. But I'm very happy for Brian Keefe. But yeah, I would, based on our reports, especially from Josh Robbins, I would expect Brian Keefe to be the next head coach of the Washington Wizards. And I'm happy for him. He deserved it. He did a great job. So look, that's gonna do it for this episode. Unbelievably happy. Very excited about this day, about the Wizards getting the first, or sorry, getting the second overall pick. You could dread on the fact that they didn't get one and this class sucks, but save the luck for next year about getting one. I think they were one lottery ball off again this year, which is disgusting. But I'd rather get one next year. I'll take two this year. For me right now, give me Holland or Castle. Those are my top guys. But even saying that, I don't care if they give me Topic. I like him. I love Rob Dillingham. Montas Buzelas seems like a guy that's going to be really good. Great work ethic. Like, I don't really care about this. Like, I trust my front office. They know more than me. And I like five guys that we will basically have there at number two. Take whoever you want. I will stand behind my front office and hope that they make the right decision in this class. So look, the Wizards are going to be here this time next year in that top four, and probably the year after that. They're going to be a staple in the lottery, especially at that top. So cherish the fact that they didn't get fucked over today, because next year and the year after, they could get fucked over like the Pistons did. So I'm going to take number two. I'll take what I can get, and then you move on to the draft in 45 days. So again, that's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate all you guys for tuning in and listening as always. Ecstatic about the second pick. Let me know your thoughts on who you guys want to draft. And that's going to do it, man. It's going to do it. Number two pick, baby. Let's go. Go, Wiz.